Those iconic notes that begin the Elgar Cello Concerto are associated with, more than anybody, the late Jacqueline Dupré, the British cellist who changed the way everybody heard the piece before her career ended prematurely in 1973 due to multiple sclerosis. The concerto has been taken up by many others since, but Yo-Yo Ma and Elisa Weilerstein, who's been playing the piece with the Philadelphia Orchestra this week, are the only two to do so with the guidance of conductor Daniel Barenboim. He was Dupré's husband and the conductor of her famous 1970 recording with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Elisa Weilerstein told the Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns how her collaboration with Barenboim unfolded, seemingly by chance.
Elisa Weilerstein is a Philadelphia favorite, having played venues from the Mann Center to the Kimball Center to a local synagogue. This year, though, she truly arrived, not just at her 30th birthday, but at a career peak that she's been working towards since she was 14. Last year, she won a MacArthur Genius Grant. This year, she released her first big label recording, and not just any repertoire, but the Elgar Cello Concerto, the signature work of her girlhood idol, Jacqueline Dupré. But at this point, Weilerstein's relationship with the deceased icon can't help but be vaguely Oedipal. Her interpretation is based not on what Dupré did, but what the composer seems to have wanted.
I find a lot of inner conflict throughout the entire piece, and nostalgia and very personal reflection. And his marking is noblemente, noble, which is not what you would necessarily imagine. And in fact, actually, when Jacqueline Dupré was, when she was already sick with the multiple sclerosis, at some point there was some talk of her doing her own edition of the Elgar. But then she apparently said to, she was dictating, she said, well, the first thing we're going to do is just scrap that noblemente marking right out. And of course, then they didn't make the edition because there were too many things that she wanted to change.
It's a different time, and it's Weilerstein's time. When Elgar wrote the piece, World War I was ending, and the Edwardian era with which he was so identified was over. When Dupré played the piece in the mid to late 1960s, the world was at the beginning of turmoil from Vietnam to the Mideast. Her reading of the piece has less resignation, more rhetoric. And now, the Elgar Concerto is perhaps less subject to current events because it's better established in the repertoire. When Weilerstein talks about the kind of interior imaging she has with various parts of the piece, she looks more to Elgar than to herself, such as in that strange first movement passage that sounds so lost.
Well, Elgar had an image for this, actually. On his deathbed, he said to a friend of his, he said, you know, if you hear that theme when you're walking through the hills, don't worry, it's only me. So this, that gives me chills to think about, actually, so.
But what about the third movement? You know the composer of the Enigma Variations is dealing with something extremely important, though you don't know what it is. It's very ambiguous, yet specific.
That movement is probably the most personal. I think that's what separates this concerto, I think, from the other that's a great romantic concerto. I mean, it's not a hero concerto at all. It's one man's personal struggle and his own personal tragedy.
The collaboration with Daniel Barenboim was more circuitous. She was introduced to him after his Metropolitan Opera performance of Tristan and Isolde by a fellow conductor who simply told him to hear her the next day. She played several concertos for him, but out of reverence for Dupré, refused to play Elgar. Later, Weilerstein was convinced to do otherwise. His suggestions for her were the sort that allowed her to be a better version of herself.
He had a million ideas, but at the same time would never want to change my own sort of like fundamental personality and fundamental conception. It's a way that I love working, actually. It's really kind of trying to achieve an intensity through detail, structural detail, and, you know, kind of marrying the head and the heart, that kind of thing. And he said, I'm doing this concert with the Berlin Philharmonic and it's going to be televised in Oxford. I'd like you to do the Elgar with me. Do you want to do it? Do you? Just like that.
When it came to recording with Barenboim later on, he strongly suggested that she pair Elgar with Elia Carter's cello concerto. At first, she wasn't sure about the dense, intimidating piece. But once she really studied the music, she was convinced, and even had a meeting with the affable 103-year-old composer not long before his death in November. It was his last interview.
Don't let those lower notes drop.
Okay.
That's it. Good.
Like that. So the lower notes more than the higher notes.
What?
So the lower notes even more than the higher notes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing that came with her recording was makeup. Weilerstein is barely recognizable on the cover.
Now, I actually had a lot of fun with that photo shoot because it was 8 hours. I'd never had like such a team, let's say. I mean, there was a stylist, there was a hair person, a makeup person, and they also like had this, huge wardrobe, which they brought me like 3 huge racks of clothing to choose from. And I was like, yes, yes, no, 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 definitely not, no, yes, maybe, Of course, there were certain things I was not willing to do. I mean, I won't do the sex pot route. It's distracting. From the music, yeah, no, absolutely not. No, I mean, look, I want to look good. I want to look beautiful, but you can look classy without doing the, exposing. Well, the good thing about makeup is it makes you look awake.
Alisa Weilerstein is a testament to the value of going slow, or at least slower than certain conservatory students who have recording contracts before graduating. Clearly, Weilerstein had so much inner drive as a teenager that she had to play concerts, and she did so dependably. To hear her is to want to hear her again. But she seemed to have a bell jar over her, some sort of force field that protected her from too much success. But now that she's dealing with all of this as a mature adult, she's more likely to be with us for a very long time.
The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns. In a program that also features works by Borodin and Tchaikovsky, Alisa Weilerstein performs the Elgar Cello Concerto with the Philadelphia Orchestra in a concert this evening at 8 at Verizon Hall at the Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.